Well, I'm going to start with an announcement, otherwise I'll forget it. And everybody will be here at 9 o'clock next Sunday, and it'll be my fault. So we've got one service next Sunday, and that's at 11. And so you're welcome to come at 9. But the rest of us will be here at 11. So that's up to you. If you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me, please. I've thought a lot about Christmas, obviously, coming up. And, you know, we hurry around thinking about, what am I going to get so-and-so? What am I going to get this person? What am I going to get that person? It's really tough when they already have everything, and which ought to be an indicator to us that maybe it's not the stuff that we give them that's the most important thing, but maybe there's something else that we could find. But anyway, that's a different story. As I look in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And I started reflecting on that, the power of God and the cross, and how the world thinks it's foolishness. The world, looks for signs. The world looks for reasoning and wisdom, and the talk of the cross is foolishness to them. But Scripture's telling us that the cross is the word of the cross is the power of God. And in chapter 2, Paul says in verse 1, "And when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come with superiority of speech or with wisdom." And I started thinking, you know, we're going to have an opportunity, many of us, to be around loved ones, family members, others that we care about, that maybe have not received the Lord yet. And sometimes we have a tendency to really want to convince them, you know, this is, you need Jesus. And some people do it more enthusiastically than others with that. But we think it's through the way we say it. If I just would have said it this way, if I just would have said it that, if I forgot to say this, that somehow we are individually going to impact whether or not they hear the love of the Christ, the love of Christ in when what we're talking. Paul gives us a good lesson here, and he says, I didn't come with superiority of speech or wisdom, earthly wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. So what's he doing? He's giving the testimony of God, period. I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness. Remember, later in 2 Corinthians, he's going to tell us that power is perfected in weakness. So he says, I was with you in much weakness, in fear, in much trembling. You hear the humility of Paul here. Again, not thinking it's anything I'm going to say that's going to bring you to me, or to Christ. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. He was speaking to them as a sinner who had been saved. I think sometimes when we share the gospel, we forget to come as sinners who have been saved. And we come as saved people who have expectations that you ought to see this and you ought to follow me because I've arrived, right? And so instead of saying, you know what, I'm sinner saved by grace, period. I want to share this with you. So he didn't come in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. So here he's demonstrating the power. How? He's getting out of the way. He's sharing the word of the cross. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So if I'm consistently depending on the wisdom of man to follow Christ, the first time somebody comes up with a wonderful argument, as the world will do, that I don't have an answer for, then I begin to doubt my faith, because my faith wasn't in Christ in the first place. When I look at the power of God, the only power in the universe that can make us right with God, that can defeat death and can defeat sin, is the word of the cross. And what is it about the word of the cross? It's the love that Christ exemplified on the cross. If we go to Romans chapter 4, and in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. That's the story of the cross. He did this through the cross. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be the just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not me. It's not you. It's not anybody else. It's the faith that it's there. It's not a matter of where we were born. It's not a matter of when we were born. It wasn't a matter about who we were born to. It's not our education. It's not our job. It's not any of that stuff. It's not in the wealth that we have. It's not in the wealth that we don't have. It's who our faith is in. And the good news is that anybody can have faith in Christ. Anybody can come to the Lord. But it's a decision that has to be made. So only the power of the cross can make us right with Christ. And only the power of the cross can defeat sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be." Paul knows that's the way man's thinking. God's grace. And you hear this in passages in other churches all the time. God's grace, God's grace, God loves you. Well, that's true, God's grace. But if we focus on God's grace and God's grace alone, then all of a sudden it doesn't matter how we behave. Well, Paul clearly, a couple thousand years ago, saw that question coming. He says, shall we just continue to sin so grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still be in it? Or do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. It is the power of the cross, the story of the cross, that gives us newness of life. Nothing else could do that. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we also will be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin may be done away with, so that we will no longer be slaves to sin. For he who first died is free, who has died is freed from sin. So, make us right with God, victory over sin, and lastly, the power of victory over the power of death. And in Hebrews, in chapter 2, verse 14, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he may render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. People who go around being afraid of dying are in bondage. Because if you think about it, what's going to happen when we pass from here? To be absent with the bodies, to be present with the Lord, right? I mean, what a glorious day that will be. Do we miss the ones who have gone on? Absolutely, we miss the ones who have gone on. But we know if they're in a better place, a place I want to be, when the Lord calls upon me. But the fact of the matter is that the word of the cross, the power of God, makes us right with God. He gives us victory over death. He gives us victory over sin, period. What other power in the universe could even come close to that? And it's available to all of us. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for the fact that you did send your Son to die for us. We thank you for your love for us. It's your love that has motivated, has driven the plan that you've had since before time began. Lord, you're calling us to yourself. You're calling us to trust in you. We're calling us to share the trust and hope that we have in you with others. Lord, in this Christmas season, it's the most valuable gift that we can offer anybody is hope and trust that's found in you. We thank you for the opportunity to share that. In Jesus' name, amen.